This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
This is episode 23 of the Ultimate Marvel Podcast, and this is our Defenders review.
And I watched that.
Did you watch it?
I did. Finished it last night.
I did too.
So if you haven't seen this thing yet, man, this is your warning. Turn this off, go watch it, and then come back. Because we got a good one. Here with me is Martin Ferretti, the infamous.
And Dennis Chandler. Have you been on this before, Dennis? I think you have once, right? Or no?
We talked the original Iron Fist with okay. Daryl Taylor.
That's right. Oh, that's right. That's right. And
I finished it up Saturday morning.
You're such a slacker.
Sheesh.
How'd you do that?
Yeah, how did you do that?
I took Friday off, and then my wife took a nap for 5 hours, so I got the first 6 episodes in. And then I woke up early Saturday morning and finished it off.
Mm. Nice.
Just like the Defenders did to the Hand.
Oh, spoilers.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Everybody should know, if this is going to be titled Defenders Review, that don't listen to this if you haven't watched the show yet, if you don't want to be spoiled.
Yes, sure. but the Hand always comes back.
Man, so, well, first impressions, what did y'all think?
Go ahead, Dennis.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I was a little disappointed when I first, because I first brought it up on Netflix, and I thought, 8 episodes, wait a second, are they releasing some later? Is my Netflix broke? And I'm like, they can't tell this story in 8 episodes, but you know what? They did. And I think that improved the pacing.
Yep.
It allowed you not to get tired of it. That's why I could just finish it in almost one length.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't, you know, you already had the characters developed, so you just kind of leapt, you kind of caught up where they were at the end of their respective series. And they were introduced together pretty quickly, and then it just kind of took off from there. It didn't overwhelm me with the action. And I think it developed the characters further. And I mean, that's why I could watch it as straight as I did. But the others, I always had to take a kind of break after 3 or 4 episodes, except maybe for Daredevil season 2. Mm-hmm. But man, you can just watch this thing straight through. And it's just it's 8 episodes. It's just the right length. And it paces just so well.
Yeah, the others all had lulls, right? Didn't it seem like they had moments where it's just like, man, it's starting to drag?
Well, it depends. I didn't feel like that at all about Jessica Jones, but
I felt like the first half of Jessica Jones was really dragging. But once
said you're wrong, and that's fine.
Well, yeah, I'm always wrong.
Well, it took me a while to get through the first half of Jessica Jones, but I will say the tension in Jessica Jones was the best out of everything.
Mm.
Yeah.
And, you know, after watching Defenders, and even though, you know, you finally kind of see the full force of the Hand, and I've seen the other Netflix shows, and as much as I love the Kingpin, I will say the biggest badass out of all of them so far is the Purple Man. Because can you imagine the Purple Man going up against the Hand? It wouldn't even be a contest.
Yeah. Yeah, he made Jessica Jones for me. That when he started getting really involved is when I really got into it. Which is weird because I now that I understand her character on the show more, I like her more. I think I didn't know what I was going into with Jessica Jones. But now, like with the Defenders, when she was involved, that was some of my favorite parts of the show.
Yeah.
Oh, when she takes on the personality, when she's on the phone with people, or getting into the meetings and such, how her demeanor,
her attitude, like, you know, I don't give a crap about anybody.
No, they cast, I think, her and who's the actor for Daredevil? Cox.
Charlie Cox.
I think those are the best cast in these. I like Luke Cage character, and I'm starting to warm up to
Danny.
Yeah, I'm starting to warm up the Finn and playing Danny a little bit.
I gotta say though, I really dug that they kind of made the Iron Fist joke throughout the Defenders. Right? It's like they knew that people were kind of lull about it.
Right.
And, like, especially with Jessica Jones, she kept on making fun of him. Yeah. Now he'd be like, oh, I'm the immortal Iron Fist. And she's like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
What did she call him? The Iron Sheik or something at one point? I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, well, the hand kept calling. They were like, you're the dumbest. You must be the dumbest Iron Fist ever.
Oh, yeah, there was that. And then whenever, like, Madame Gao and all that, she's also making comments. It's like, and one of the other members of the Ham is like, well, the others in the past have done this, and, you know, I've seen Iron Fist do this. No, it was Stick who kept going on, well, others have done this and others have done that. Can't you do anything except whine?
Now, do you think that was their intention or because of the, you know, reviews of the show or the feedback they got from Iron Fist? Or a little both.
Had they started filming before Iron Fist aired? Or did they immediately go into filming once it had aired?
No, I think it had already aired, didn't it?
I think it was close.
Yeah, because I thought they had finished, they wrapped up production fairly recently. So I'm pretty sure that was all done after Iron Fist went out.
Yeah. Now, I didn't, Martin, talk to you after Iron Fist, I don't think. So I'm really curious, because you're like the Iron Fist guy, right?
I love Iron Fist, yeah.
So I'm curious what you thought about that show as well as his role in this show. Because it took a lot of crap. But you being a fan, did you feel the same way?
I really liked it. It wasn't anything like the comic, and I was okay with that. I've gotten to a point where I try not to compare a TV or movie adaptation from a comic to the source material.
Right.
Because I think that's kind of unfair to the source material and to whatever the new thing is.
Yeah.
Because really it's just like it's a new person trying to give their perspective on this character. And I mean, everybody that was involved in that show, I'm pretty sure got fired, right, from the production company.
It's crazy.
But it's probably because so many people complained. I enjoyed the show. I thought it was fine. It wasn't the best show, and Danny was a little frustrating. but it was enjoyable. But the problem is watching Defenders now, it's almost like we didn't even need that show. Because there was no reference to anything that happened in Iron Fist, although if you watch it, there's like little extra stuff, right? So the majority of the setup with the hand is stuff that happened in Iron Fist,
right?
You know, his relationship with Colleen, all that's all from Iron Fist.
Madame Gao introducing,
yeah, the stuff with Madame Gao,
but
you probably didn't even need to watch Iron Fist to get this.
No, you could have picked right up.
And matter of fact, I'd probably say you might be better off not watching Iron Fist and just going straight to Defenders.
So you're not disappointed?
I'm disappointed that Iron Fist wasn't what I hoped it would be.
Yeah.
And I don't think Iron Fist and Defenders is what I would like Iron Fist to be either. But it was a step in the right direction.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I thought it's interesting. Like with Luke Cage, at least they did their own story. But they had elements, they had certain scenes where there was a little bit of a flashback, or at least like a, wasn't there a scene where he like stumbled into something, some clothes that looked like his old uniform, his old like 70s uniform, just to like give the old core, the like hardcore, you know, fans something to tease about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's when he broke out of the prison when the experiment went wrong and he had the they had strapped him down by his hands and his head.
Yeah.
So he still had like the bands from the arm straps and the band that was holding his head on, and he got up and he took off the shirt off the clothesline, yeah, the yellow shirt, and then for about 5 seconds he looked like 70s Power Man.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, they didn't do anything like that in Iron Fist, or at least not that I picked up on.
No, not really. Not in the show. Like in Defenders, there's a little closer to the outfit, I guess, because towards the latter end of the season, he had his shirt ripped wide open so you could see the dragon.
Right.
And that's always kind of been a part of the costume. But he had no mask.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm actually okay with him not having the costume, because that costume is a little 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah, Daredevil's the only one that's got a costume.
Well, and even Daredevil's is updated pretty well, I think.
Oh, yeah. His looks pretty slick. Yeah,
I mean, it would just without the headpiece, it would just be like body armor.
Right.
It's exactly right. It looks.
He looked a little like Batman in a couple scenes. He did.
Real Batman or current Batman?
Oh, I guess current Batman.
I don't know who that is.
Right. But there's a couple scenes where I was like, man, he looks a little like Batman.
Yeah, no, I could see that. The little devil horns, like the Affleck Batman. He's got the little devil horns on him.
Does he? Yeah. The little ears. And I'm not saying that because
people, I like that joke too, by the way. Jessica's like, I love your ears. He's like, they're not ears, they're horns. She's like, yeah, whatever.
Right. You know, that's what that was one of the things, to kick back to the other series. Like, did you catch it, Jessica Jones, when they showed briefly for like 5 seconds her costume?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, Trish pulled it out. They're going through the stuff, and Trish, hey, here's the costume I made for you. Blah blah blah.
Oh, really?
And it was the jewel costume from Alias.
Oh yeah, right.
That's what I like, because I keep thinking every one of the Netflix ones, if they're not going to be in costume, they show it somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And I think the one time you saw the Iron Fist costume in Iron Fist was it the film with the Iron Fist from World War II?
Yeah.
Well, who's that? Orson. But anyway, that was the more traditional Iron Fist costume. I think that's when you saw it there. But I guess we're not here to talk about those. We're here to talk about Defenders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So another thing I liked about Defenders is I like how they handled the minor characters, the supporting characters. Because it could have gotten really unwieldy with the number they did, but it was kind of good. It was kind of really ingenious how they had them all in there. But
they squeezed them all in. I didn't expect every single one of them to be in the show. I thought they might throw some of them in there for when they were needed, but they managed to get a full cast from every show in.
You mean, yeah, the supporting cast.
The supporting cast, supporting. At least the main supporting characters.
Right. Yeah, that was cool. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. I would have liked to see a little more Hellcat, but it's fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you think they're going to develop that character in the Hellcat?
And I would like them to. Yeah, I think that'd be great.
And join her up with Colleen and Misty?
Well, you know, Colleen and Misty have teamed up quite a bit before.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's... And he put her, those two, Trish and Claire.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as she learns some kung fu, because she was the only person in the entire.
I was saying it might take a bit for Claire.
She keeps in both Iron Fist and Defender. She's fighting off people, and I'm like, how does she do that?
She took on some hand.
Dude, she was fighting Bakuda. I was like, there's no
right, right.
There's no way.
Yeah,
and then the New York cop with a gun doesn't last 5 seconds against Bakuda.
Where did she learn that? They haven't even hinted at it,
right?
Just from watching other people, I guess. That's how it works.
Well, wasn't in Iron Fist? Wasn't she training with Colleen there for a little bit?
She was. But I mean, how long was she training? Like maybe a couple weeks tops?
She's just a natural.
I don't know about that.
Okay. All right. Oh, okay. Explain to me this. So here's the one thing, if I was trying to figure out, that I didn't quite get. So when Luke and Danny first meet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's your classic, the heroes meet, they don't know who they are, so they assume each other's the bad guy. Right? Mm-hmm. And so Danny's this the Iron Fist, and he's pounding on Luke, and Luke's just standing there, right? Until he uses the Iron Fist. So how come he can do that, but whenever he's fighting one of the hand members, they're knocking him all over the place?
Yeah, I thought about that too. I mean, it was obviously just for comic relief, for him to be standing there like a statue while Danny's punching away.
No, I didn't think that at all. Because if you look at that last episode when they're fighting the Hand, especially Madame Gao, like, Madame Gao could probably take on each of them individually and just destroy them. Mm-hmm. Because of those chi abilities that she's got.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I could see it. And the thing is, like, Danny, man, it's such a waste. Such a waste. Like, think about how he uses his powers. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, so, you know, it's like, oh, God, what is it? The Matrix.
Now it's coming out.
It's like the Matrix, yes, and now it's coming out. It's like the Matrix when Neo first plugs in and they put him in that that jump program, and then he's like, oh, I know Kung Fu. Like, that's kind of what Iron Fist is.
Right.
Right? Because, like, he's got all this power, but he doesn't even know how to use it.
Right.
Like, towards the end, he has a little bit more control of it, but throughout his show and through most of the Defenders, like, he can kind of channel the chi for, like, a second, mm-hmm. and then it's gone.
Yeah.
And his fighting abilities just don't seem as good as they should be, considering he trained in Kunlun.
Well, yeah, didn't he have to call upon his... Now, he didn't have the Iron Fist, but didn't he have to call on his chi and all his prowess to defeat the dragon to become the Iron Fist? So, mm-hmm. where's all that? I kind of agree with that. It's like, why can't he focus his chi
mm-hmm.
any better?
But now, don't they have to balance it? Because Daredevil is going to be the clear-cut leader of the group, right? Mm-hmm. And they sort of have, outside of his chi, they sort of have a similar fighting style. So they have to, when the two are side by side, they have to make Daredevil look like the natural, more skilled martial artist, right? If this is not the way they should have gone about it, but it seemed like what they're trying to say is, okay, he's an okay fighter, but he needs his chi to really be. Is that not what you would take away from the comics?
I don't know. He still seems like he should be a great fighter either way. Well, I know what you're saying, but I don't
think... Like, I get the impression if he went head-to-head with all of the Defenders individually, he would get beat by every single one of them. If he wasn't able to use his summon his chi.
Right.
Now, is that true to the comics? I don't know.
No, I mean, he's still... Well, it depends on which iteration of the character you look at. Because, like, the last couple ones, they've made him a little more jokey.
Right.
Than he had been in the past.
They have, for sure.
Yeah. So, and I mean, that's kind of... I think that stemmed out of the team-up with Power Man.
Yeah.
Because they became kind of a comedic duo to some extent. And they played with some of them Defenders, which I liked. I liked that dynamic, but... I don't know.
I don't know. I always got the impression that Iron Fist is supposed to be the premier fighter in the Marvel Universe in the comics.
Yeah.
Martial Iron, artist. Chi or no. It would be between him and... who's the master of Kung Fu?
Shang-Chi.
I know who you're talking about.
Shang-Chi.
Yeah, Shang-Chi. It's him. It's him and Iron Fist. They're the kind of the pinnacle of martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did they retcon Stick a bit from in Defenders from what he was in Daredevil season one?
What do you mean?
Well, in season one, I got the impression that Stick was born and he was the chased, right? But they kind of redefined that in Defenders, didn't they?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Because I got the impression in Daredevil, it's like Stick, he was born special. Somehow he learned his martial arts, but he was chased. The chased was an individual, and he was raising this army.
Mm-hmm,
but that's not the case when they reviewed it in Defenders. So I don't know if that was retconned or I just misunderstood it from Daredevil.
Yeah, because in Defenders, the Chased are kind of an offshoot of the Monks of Kunlun.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And I guess, wouldn't that be one reason you'd need to watch Iron Fist? Is because then you wouldn't get all the Kunlun references in it, and you wouldn't understand the importance of it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I guess.
Or
so.
You could just Wikipedia what it is, and then you could.
Yeah, it seems like it'd be easier to just Wikipedia what Kung Nun is.
Well, you'd get 12 and a half hours back.
Look, the show wasn't bad, okay? It wasn't good, but it wasn't bad either.
Oh, no, I was entertained with Iron Fist.
And I will say, the first two-thirds of Iron Fist, I really dug. It's just like the last third that I kind of started going downhill for me.
Yeah.
Do you think it would have been better received if it was first? And we didn't have, because Daredevil, people loved Daredevil. And it was great, and nobody was doing anything quite like that at the time. But then the bar was set kind of high, and I wonder if Iron Fist suffered because of that. Like, if it would have came out first, we would have all been like, okay, this is cool and acceptable.
I'll tell you what set Daredevil off the first season was the Kingpin. They haven't had another villain like that that kind of led up like that. Now, you know, Purple Man was pretty good. And I still think he could take a lot of people, but the way they set up Kingpin in the first season of Daredevil...
Oh, he's great.
It was awesome.
Yeah, I've always said Purple Man and Kingpin are the best villains in the entire MCU, including the movies.
And you know what? That was the one thing different here in Defenders that they did. Maybe that was because it was 8 episodes, but the other 4, wasn't there a minor villain up kind of that you thought was the main baddie halfway through it? And then about halfway to two-thirds, you started getting the hint that there's another big baddie?
Like in Luke, in Luke Cage, they did that.
They did that, and then but they also did it in Daredevil the first season, because who was the villain at first?
I don't remember, man.
In Daredevil?
Yeah, wasn't it more you were seeing like the Russian gang and Madame Gao's crew, so it was almost like the gangs in Hell's Kitchen. And then about episode 4 or 5, then you started kind of seeing where it was the Kingpin. That's what I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't remember that. Because I remember I hated that show until episode 5.
Oh, yeah, my gosh.
I thought Daredevil was terrible until Kingpin showed up.
How come?
It was just so boring.
Really?
There wasn't a main villain.
That might be what it is. It was just boring.
Wow. Because that sounds like how I felt about Jessica Jones.
Oh, Jessica Jones is great from the start. You're wrong.
That's funny.
Jessica Jones is the best.
I was so taken away because Daredevil is just, I'd never seen a superhero show like that on TV, even though Netflix isn't TV as we've known it, you know, up to this point. To me, it was just so groundbreaking. So I probably was a little bit giddy to the point where maybe I overlooked things, but I loved it.
That's very possible, Jack. Very possible.
I think with Defenders... Like the team up thing, I think that's what I've learned from Marvel and DC in the last 10 years. It's like the team up stuff, it works.
Mm.
It seems like it always works. Like you already love these characters, so go just throw them in a scene together, let them play off of each other's abilities, make jokes at each other, and it's like always entertaining.
Did you feel though that their reluctance to team up at the beginning was forced? Because if you've just kind of had, you know, just barely escaped some ninjas and all this other crap, wouldn't you want some help? Instead of, okay, I'm not hanging with you guys, I'm gonna go off do my own and let the ninjas attack me by myself. I'm like, hell no,
right?
Get back to back and see which direction they're coming from.
Well, I kept reading that people, before I was able to see it, people were saying that they didn't team up soon enough. But I was okay with that. I thought I think my least favorite episode was the first one. It seemed kind of slow, but they were trying to sort of lay out each character's life, and I don't think they really teamed up until the end of episode 2. Well, the whole group didn't get together till 3 or 4.
Yeah, I was gonna say I thought it was much later, maybe 4, even episode 5.
Yeah.
Oh, when were they in the Chinese restaurant? Because that was
that was the fourth episode.
Yeah.
That was 2.5 episodes just in that Chinese restaurant.
They milked it.
See, I don't know, because I watched this whole series in 3 parts. I watched the first episode because I was like, I want to make sure that I can get into this before I go ahead and dive in. So I watched the first one. I thought it was good. And then I watched 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 together, and then I watched 7, 8 last night.
That's about the same as I did.
Yeah, I remember reading something before I started watching, like the critics only got the first four episodes, and there were some comments on they should have gave them one more episode because things didn't pick up towards the end of episode four. So that must have been at a Chinese restaurant.
Huh. Yeah.
I thought the pacing was just fine.
I thought the pacing was good because I was kind of concerned. I was going to try to force myself to get through the first four episodes. Mm-hmm. There's no forcing.
Right. Well, Luke and Danny met up in episode two. And I thought that whole, you know, dialogue between the two of them and the fight scene and all that was great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then when did Matt show up in Jessica's?
Yeah, I think it was like episode three.
Episode three? And then he started, or was that could have been episode two because wasn't that the end of episode two? Because in episode three is when he's following her, they all end up at Middle Town Circle.
Yeah.
Midland Circle. Yeah.
So in hindsight, it doesn't seem that slow, but I guess I could see where if you only watch four episodes, then you only had one episode of them all together, and most of it is them sitting around a restaurant. Then I guess I could. Maybe
well, I guess I guess the critics thought, well, if you've got a show called The Defenders and it's a team, where the hell's the team?
Yeah, but
don't see it in the first four episodes.
Yeah, but they did it right. I mean, I thought it was good. I thought the pacing was fine.
So how do you like how they did the hand? I thought that was very interesting.
With the five fingers, is that what you're talking about?
Exactly.
Yeah, that was great.
When they said that, I'm like, oh, somebody's been thinking this out. Because in the comics, why are they called the hand? Because they're the invisible hand, or...
Yeah, something like that.
And they've always had one leader?
Yeah, she's the middle finger.
Yeah, but when they said they were the five fingers of the hand, because I could never understand exactly. So you had Madame Gao and Bakuda. And I didn't understand how it was all working together, because it's like I thought Madame Gao was in the hand, but then in Iron Fist, it's like Bakuda's head of the hand, and he's fighting against Gao and all this. This just brought it all together very nicely in a nice bow, a nice little present about the hand and how it's organized and how it came about. And I'm like, okay. And how they tied it to Kunlun and what they were after. And
right.
The masterpiece, and this is, and I guess I read something about, this is the end of phase one of the Netflix shows. and how the hand is now, you find out how it's been intertwined in all the shows, except for maybe Jessica Jones. I don't guess it was really in Jessica Jones. Or Luke Cage. Well.
The hand?
No, it wasn't any of
them. I don't remember. They weren't
not even any little Easter eggs?
No. Jessica Jones is pretty self-contained compared to the rest of the shows.
Yeah, and so was Luke Cage. So I guess
Luke Cage too.
And the two Daredevils and... Iron Fist is where the threads of the hand all were you know, being opened, and it just all came together very nicely. Mm-hmm, the mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the five fingers of the hand, that was my oh, I gotta stop and just bask in how they've done this glory at that point, because I'm like, that's nice.
Yep.
That is very nice how they tied that together.
I like the way a lot of the episodes ended with sort of like a tension, a moment of tension, or like a cliffhanger, like when Elektra kills Sigourney Weaver's character,
Alexandra.
It seemed like a lot of the episodes they had these scenes where it's like, okay, I got to keep watching this. It sort of reminded me of... You guys won't like this, but it sort of reminded me of Game of Thrones. What they'll do, even if the entire episode is dragging, they'll throw something at the end just to get you excited.
Hey, I'm a Game of Thrones fan.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed I'm going to miss the season finale because I'll be fantasy football drafting. I'll have to watch it the next day and make sure I don't watch any spoilers, but...
I don't get it. Why would you miss it for that reason?
Because I have a fantasy football draft Sunday night at
Dude,
8
you don't
o'clock.
Need to, you don't need to pay attention to that.
Oh.
Yeah, I think you're in that league, aren't you, Martin?
Yep, sure am. I might miss the draft because that's when I record with Nick.
Mm.
Ooh.
And you don't need...
You can do a live analysis with Nick as the draft guy.
Hey, that's what we're going to do. We said we're going to do the one I'm in on Open Bar.
With, really?
Oh, the Slack channel league?
Yeah, the Slack channel one.
Yeah, I'm in that Sunday. That's Saturday night. I'm on that one, too.
Is that this Saturday?
Yep.
Man, I need to make sure I'm there.
Is your calendar filling up, Jack?
Oh, my gosh.
It's just easy. You're gonna draft Cam Newton, then McCaffrey, and
I didn't know Dennis was one to derail the conversation to this extent.
Oh, it can get edited out.
Don't get me started on Cam Newton.
Is he the Luke Cage? What do you think about? So I remember when Sigourney Weaver got cast, they were all trying to figure out which character she is and everything like that. How do you like the idea of them just creating their own villains for the Netflix MCU?
I think that's smart. That's what I'm saying, dude. I don't understand why everybody always just wants every TV show and movie to be just like a direct translation of a comic. Just let it be its thing, dude.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's why I enjoy the DC animated stuff, which doesn't have to be the CW stuff, which doesn't have to be the movie stuff.
Yeah.
And just like the Marvel, it's like you do have the little Easter eggs in the Netflix series that kind of tie into the movies. Yeah. But you would think, though, on occasion you'd see something Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the Netflix movies, and there hasn't been anything, has there?
In the Netflix movies or the shows?
Yeah, has there been any Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or anything from that that's shown up
in the
Netflix
stuff? They haven't been in anything since, like, Avenger, I think since Age of Ultron. We haven't even seen Nick Fury in anything. And from what I read, there was some problem between the movie crew and, I don't know, the director from the show and from the movies, and they, you know, and anyways, they've sort of ousted the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And actually, they killed them all off. Like, they killed off Coulson, and then they had
in the first Avengers movie.
Right. And they had to sort of oddly resurrect him in the show to keep that going. Anyways, S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't exist in the MCU, it seems like, outside of the show. Because that's what people keep talking about the movies, is like, if you have sort of a central legal authority that's going to enter the scene, it would always be S.H.I.E.L.D. It's going to be S.H.I.E.L.D., but it hasn't been at all since, I think, Age of Ultron.
Well, didn't I hear something about they were going to introduce S.W.O.R.D.? Either in that, or they were going to do S.W.O.R.D. in the X-Men movies, or they're going to do S.W.O.R.D. in... Maybe the sword was... Sword's coming up in something, but heck, the problem is you've got... The issue, I guess, I've got with all the Marvel stuff is you've got... So Marvel owns, like, a key bunch of stuff, but you got the Spider-Man stuff, which is kind of coming back to Marvel a bit. Mm-hmm. But you got the X-Men stuff, which is a separate universe. And you've got, like, the Fantastic Four, which they can't make a movie, which has the Silver Surfer.
But they don't have any control over that stuff.
Yeah, I know, and that's the thing.
Right.
It'd just be so much awesomer if they hadn't sold that off when they were about to go bankrupt.
Good point.
But you think Disney's got enough money, they could buy that back.
I don't know. Maybe it's they don't. Yeah, I don't know.
So when all the Netflix shows and the movies and all that go to the new Disney streaming service, do you think they're going to tie it all together there?
So I heard they weren't going to do that. I thought they kind of went back on their decision about pulling everything from Netflix.
We'll see about that. No. The decision, the thing is, people misunderstood it. When they started talking about Disney, people were like, oh, Netflix, you know, whatever, all the Marvel stuff's gone. That's not what's happening. The only thing that's leaving Netflix is actual Disney stuff, like whatever Little Mermaid and whatever other crap they make.
Yeah,
but not the Marvel stuff, not Star Wars. All that is staying.
So to get back to Defenders, what y'all think about Elektra? I'm still kind of internally debating that.
Is she dead?
Well, she doesn't have a heartbeat.
She was dead to begin with.
Yes.
But Daredevil could never hear her.
Yeah.
Because she has no heartbeat. So are they truly resurrected then?
I guess not, huh?
What was the substance that was...
It's just like the dragon fossil stuff.
Yeah, the ground up dragon marrow.
There you go.
All I saw was the fossil.
Yeah, that was really unclear.
Well, didn't you see it when they were flashing back to how they resurrected Elektra, and they had the bowl, and the monk was pouring the gray powder into the blood and then stirring it in?
Yep.
So I guess, you know, and isn't kind of there like some of the Chinese herbal stuff, like grounding up like rhinoceros horns and bones of stuff and things? Sure, so it kind of plays with that.
Yeah.
And he saw where they had sectioned some off. I'm still betting some of that got out.
Oh, no doubt.
But I guess that was kind of... So in what time frame or what Hidden Valley or... oh, crap. In the comics, what's that at the South Pole? What's the jungle in the South Pole called in Marvel Comics? Savage Land.
The Savage Land, yeah.
Yeah, so what Savage Land were these dragons at that they, one ended up in New York City? In Manhattan.
So that's what's confusing. Because it's really far down.
Hmm.
Did they say how far down it is?
30 stories.
Well,
oh, that's
no.
it?
Well,
no, it had to be more than that.
More than that, because after they'd been descending a while, didn't Daredevil say, well, there's 30 stories to go?
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, let's just say it's, I don't know, a mile down. That's probably okay, right? A mile down. All right, so they're in New York City, which is an island. I don't know, like, can you go down a mile?
I don't know if the deepest hole dug's a mile yet.
And the thing, well, no, there is that one that the Russians were digging in, I think in Antarctica.
Yeah, but after you go far down so far, the heat just...
Right, yeah, that's the problem, because they've gone through so many drills, and I think they've been digging that hole for, like, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they're to a point where, like, not even diamond or whatever can, like, continue going down.
Yeah.
And so they're, like, they're replacing drills all the time. That is a problem. The other problem is, apparently, if you dig a giant hole to the bottom of an island and dig tunnels all around it, it's not going to mess with the island itself. But what messes with the island is actually when you start cutting up the dragon bones. Because that's kind of how it went. And that's why the earthquake stuff at the beginning was kind of a little bit weird. Like, I was good with it. Like, if they're digging a hole, I get the earthquakes, right? Like, they're messing with the base of the island. But then later on, I think it might even be Elektra, that she's like, oh, no, it wasn't Elektra, it was Madame Gao. It was something about, like, once they start actually cutting up the bones is when the island's going to destabilize.
Right.
And I guess they've done it before, because didn't they mention other cities they destroyed? So,
well, they mentioned Kunlun.
Yeah, but there were some other cities they kind of mentioned, and you almost got the impression that because they've okay, so they got the five fingers of the hand got expelled from Kunlun.
Yes.
How long ago do you think that it was?
Well, I mean, judging by the organization, it would have to be at least a few hundred years back.
Right.
Well, didn't Alexandra was mentioning Constantinople, and there was a comment when she was eating in that shop, and he said, "No, that's in." And he goes, Istanbul. Constantinople's the ancient name.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, so, all right, so exactly. So maybe a couple thousand years then.
Yeah, I was thinking it was It's been a long time.
But so and so that got me thinking too. We didn't get a whole lot about Bakudo. And what was the other guy's name?
Did they ever
the
say
African
his name?
Warlord. Yeah, they said his name. I can't remember it.
Oh, though. The African warlord. I thought you were talking all about right. The guy that I never got who the guy was that was. You met him after he was dissecting the bear.
The Asian guy.
Oh, the Asian guy. Yeah, I don't think they said his name. The guy that only spoke in Japanese.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah, wasn't it a little weird that he could only speak Japanese, but they could all understand him, but they never responded in Japanese?
Dude, like, I don't.
What was that about?
Yes, but no. I think, like, if all right, think about it. If you were around for a few thousand years, like, I'm pretty sure you'd learn a couple languages, right?
You just speak so, like, what you prefer.
They all speak English. They all speak Japanese. They all speak whatever. And they just choose to talk in whatever the language they want to talk in, which is a little weird for Madame Gao because I would assume she would speak in Mandarin.
Right.
And since I'm talking about Madame Gao, I thought it was really weird, and it makes me wonder how much older she is, because she was talking about when she was a kid in her village, they had dragons.
Well, exactly. That's why I'm kind of trying to figure out what the time period, and then if there was dragons then, how far back would that be to where they were roaming around the world and one got buried 80 stories beneath Manhattan?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or...
Yeah, but this is also, you got to remember, it's a universe with, like, helicarriers and all kind of other stuff. I think they could...
Wait, are you saying helicarriers aren't real?
Well, hey, I don't want to disappoint you again.
Hey, Jack doesn't have the clearance yet.
I mean, they might be fudging the facts a little bit, is what I'm saying.
Well, is Kunlun on a different, like a parallel plane or a parallel? So
yeah, because you can only. It's not a physical place where you can just stroll in at any time. I can't remember. They explained that. That's something else they explained in Iron Fist.
Well, that's why I'm kind of wondering. Maybe
every
the dragons,
100 years or something?
The dragons came from this parallel plane where they're at.
Yeah.
And they kind of fused a bit with
our world. Yeah. Now, I can't remember what run, but there was a run where they expanded all that stuff. Because it used to be just Kunlun, and then the series got relaunched probably like late 70s maybe. And they had like Seven Kingdoms.
Hmm. Was that the late 70s, or that was Rukka's run in the early 2000s?
Oh, was that? No, that couldn't have been Rukka's run.
Yeah.
Well, you're right. It was.
Yeah, it was
Rukka's run. You're right.
And honestly, that's about my favorite Iron Fist run.
Yeah.
That was awesome. We had the Seven Cities of Heaven.
Yep, that's it.
And they had the tournament.
Hmm. Yep.
And I think one or two of the from that run, that Rukka run, was the... remember in Iron Fist when he had to go meet Madame Gao to get... And he did the challenge, and he had to face three champions before he could. And I think two of the characters from that was two of the champions from Rukka's run. They're like the
You might be right. You might be right. I need to reread that.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, it's really good. Anything Rukka is really good. So.
Oh, but a Rukka Iron Fist. And the art fit it too.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So, episode 8, Misty Knight lost her arm. Isn't it pretty much a given that we're going to see her, the bionic arm?
Of course.
Well, but is it going to come from Rancor or Stark Core?
No, it's not going to be from Stark. I think they're doing a good job at keeping that stuff separate.
They are.
I think they might have mentioned the incident, but that's it. It was like a one-off.
Yeah, but has any of the thing from Rand Corporation shown you advanced, like, robotics or cybernetics? It seems to be all finance stuff.
Right, yeah.
And shipping and, more traditional, like, business.
I mean, it would make total sense for it to come from Stark.
Well, the thing is, now that Danny has found his family, right? Like, that was the thing the last couple episodes. It started with Colleen, like, why does he want to fight for the city, for these people? Like, he's finding his family. And with all the money he's got, I mean, he could be like the Stark character. Like Stark is to the Avengers, Danny could be to the Defenders if they continue with whatever they're doing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So they, I mean, they did set it up by saying he owned the hospital.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. That's totally right. And they hinted that there's a lot of other things that go on there that we don't know about yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably a total setup. I mean, I have mixed emotions about that because I want these stories to be separate from the movies. But on the other hand, like early on, the movies and what they were doing with S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter, like that stuff was all like tightly integrated, and I thought that was really cool. It feels like they're getting away from that. And not necessarily just because it makes for a better story, but just because there's like a drama in the inner ranks of whatever. And I don't know. I would like to see a little bit, even if it doesn't affect the actual story itself. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to. I'm not saying I want to see like the Defenders in Infinity War or whatever. You can keep that stuff separate. But to have Tony Stark or Stark Industries build her an arm, I think would be a nice little plug. Just to keep it all slightly integrated.
Yeah, but you can't have it too tight, or you start constraining yourself.
Well, what I'm worried about is it's not gonna. It's they're just gonna sever it completely.
Well, I guess you know what we'll see here in Phase 2, because, and you know, there's another part towards the end I want to talk about. But what did you think about the preview at the end of Defenders?
Hadn't we seen that already? I thought that had been out like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it'd come out, but I think it got leaked. But yeah, that Punisher.
Oh, yeah. Punisher 2?
Preview.
Or not 2, but...
It looked awesome.
Yeah. Punisher.
And it looks like he's going to be a Gulf War vet, not a Vietnam vet.
Yep. Well, I mean, that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it kind of has to.
And that's out in November, so I guess they're already filming it.
Mm-hmm. Well, if it's out in November, I'm hoping they're in like post-production.
Yeah, they should be in post-production. I'm surprised they didn't tie in Punisher into Defenders in any way.
To plug the show?
Yeah, to plug the show.
Well, you know what? It seems like they all the characters were, it seemed like we're in most of the shows. Like, it didn't, I wonder if it has to do with contracts or they don't want to pay people. But it seems like they don't want to bring somebody in for just like one show.
Hmm.
And I've noticed that through all the Marvel shows. Like they did it once with Nick Fury. Nick Fury made a brief appearance in S.H.I.E.L.D. But you rarely see anybody cross over. Or maybe I'm forgetting about something. I just don't remember any episodes where you see somebody cross over for like one episode.
How many episodes was Hogarth in?
Jeez.
Wasn't she just in the one episode, which set up how Matt would meet with Jessica?
Yeah. Yep, you're right. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, she's not a major character from the movies right. or anything like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a good example, though. I mean, but it would have been, it would have said, hey, if they would have brought him in to the story somehow and fit it in all nice and snug and still set up the Punisher, it would have given me the impression that this stuff is really like a well-oiled machine. Because one of the things that was a little bit weird to me, some of the shows are disconnected. Like for example, Luke Cage was in Jessica Jones, and he had a major role in Jessica Jones, like a very significant role. But then when Luke Cage's show came about, she had nothing to do with any of it. And I was sort of like, you just went through this really dramatic experience with her. And like, you know, her name doesn't even come up in any of the scenes.
Yeah, but didn't he explain that by saying the last time he saw her, she shot him in the head with a
yep.
shotgun? Well, so that could make you kind of like, but maybe I don't want to see him here for a little bit.
They explained, that was sort of after, you mean in Defenders they explained it.
Well, yeah, because didn't he make the comment he hadn't seen her since the Purple Man forced her to shoot him in the head?
Yeah, right. But you had all those episodes of Luke Cage. Why didn't you even mention it then?
Because he had Claire. He had that sweet, spicy coffee.
Right.
Which was the ongoing gag in Luke Cage. Yeah. So it was so great to see how they played that in the first episode when he first got out of prison. And then at the last episode when Jessica goes, they say, hey, we're friends and we can meet up. Well, how about some coffee sometime? And he kind of like...
Yep.
Yeah.
This kind of goes away.
Hey, man. They hinted at it. Because, in the comics right now, they're together. They got a kid.
I guess in Jessica Jones, did you have the coffee gag? Or was that only in Luke Cage?
I don't remember. I think...
I think that was only in Luke Cage.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah. I don't remember.
Yeah, so I think that it was like Jessica doesn't know what the getting coffee means.
Yeah, maybe she didn't. Maybe she was totally ignorant towards it when he said it.
Which was like every half hour in Luke Cage.
Right.
Yeah.
It was either a coffee or a sweet Christmas.
So can I ask a question about coffee? let me ask a coffee question. So the reason that he and Jessica got along was because of her abilities. She could handle some Luke meat.
I think I know where this is going.
She could handle some Luke loving.
She could handle the Luke loving. Okay.
You
she could drink a whole lot of coffee because of her superpowers. Now,
yeah, I think that was. Yeah.
Does not have powers. But she got tore up in that first episode. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because wasn't in Jessica Jones that one scene where it's just like a couple of hours later, the bed's just in pieces.
Yeah.
Hey, he's taking it easy on her.
And there's a hole in the wall and all this. And yeah, you're kind of right. Well, that's kind of like that always that eternal question about Superman and Lois Lane.
Oh, yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point.
So, maybe he's just got enough control.
I mean, did you watch the scene?
Yeah.
They destroyed her apartment. Like, how is she walking?
Well, but you had two forces going at it, whereas with Claire, it was one-sided. So maybe he just took it easy on her.
I don't know, man. Maybe that's what she was sitting down the rest of the season.
Maybe that gave her some superpowers for like 24 hours.
Yeah. That's why she was fighting with everybody else.
Mm-mm-mm.
Well, have you ever read The Pro?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Then. So this is a... Yeah, that would get the big old rated R explicit comments from iTunes or whatever. But the repercussions of that matchup are fully outlined in The Pro, if you haven't read that, which is a Garth Ennis book. So there's no details spared.
Interesting.
Let's just say there's a similar situation in that, and he realizes he's going to kill her. So he stops what he's doing, but accidentally shoots down a plane.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to put that on my list.
So, he's just got great control. That's just got to be what it is.
Yeah, I hear you.
Just got that sweet, gentle loving.
I hear you.
And I guess the night nurse has been fighting the hand so long, she's kind of like built up some strength.
Very possible.
But you are right. That was one of the reasons why he and Jessica got along so well.
Mm-hmm.
And they both could. I think Jessica had that problem also.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, maybe I should rephrase that. It's not like he probably couldn't with a normal woman.
But he can't cut loose.
Yeah.
I stepped away. Didn't tell anybody. I came back. Y'all were still talking about Luke getting on with superpowered women versus...
Were you there when we were talking about The Pro? Have you ever read The Pro?
No.
By Garth Ennis?
No.
Basically, she's a super-powered hooker.
There you go.
I like it. I'm going to read it. I'm telling you.
She ends up on a Justice League-like team and has the effect on the team as you would expect. And I actually heard that got an option for a movie, but isn't everything getting optioned for a movie?
Oh, yeah, everything gets optioned. Doesn't mean that anything's going to happen.
So, go ahead.
Did you think they were going to have the balls to go through with what you thought was happening in the last 5 minutes?
What, taking down the building?
Well, what happened when they took down the building? What does Karen Page and Foggy think right now?
Oh, that he's dead?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering if they'll keep it that way and let him go a little bit incognito for a while.
I seriously thought for 5 minutes that they had the balls they were actually going to kill him off. I seriously thought.
I didn't think they did. But I was a little bit disappointed the way they... I mean, I thought they would reveal that he was still alive a little bit more subtly. And keep you wondering. But they just totally showed him in, like, you know, tore up in a hospital. I was like...
I don't know if it was a hospital. That's from a comic.
Yeah, it's from Frank Miller's second run with Daredevil. Like, it's starting issue 227.
It sounds about right.
It's, I think what he gets the crap beaten up out of him by him, the kingpin in that.
Ah. And where is he at?
Oh, it's Daredevil 230.
There you go.
Well, that's where that scene is taken from the issue 230. I can't remember if that's where the story starts, but it's also in that issue is where Daredevil meets his mother.
Mm.
Yeah, the first Frank Miller runs issues 158 to about 193, and then he left and he came back with like issue 230 through, and then that's when you think you got Painkiller Jane, no, not Painkiller Jane, Typhoid Mary.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, that scene, that end scene was straight taken from a comic panel.
Yep. Well, except for the nun.
Oh, there's a nun in it.
Yeah, but, you know, it's modern times.
Oh, that's
true. We got a racially diverse scene at the end
as opposed
to the original comic.
So, but does that hint that Elektra carried him out?
That's the weird thing, right? Because
he couldn't have carried himself out. I mean, they're what, 80 stories down?
Mm-hmm.
With a building? Was there another escape? Since they had opened the dome over the dragon, does that mean there was other entrances or exits?
I guess they'd have to be, right?
Well, I guess that's what we'll find out.
Because, I mean, even if she's a zombie Elektra, she's not going to climb whatever. What do we say? 1,000 feet? 1,500 feet? Whatever. More?
30 stories plus.
Yeah. She's not going to climb herself plus Matt on her back. You know what I'm saying?
Well, didn't she haul off Iron Fist?
Yeah, she did. That was pretty impressive.
She kind of jumped out of the window with him and started running down there with him.
I guess so.
I mean,
but she's still just getting out of there by yourself would be tough.
But it comes back to this. So apparently the five fingers of the hand have also been resurrected several times, and so normal stuff doesn't kill him, because remember Bakuda got shot? He's kind of like, yeah, you shot me.
Yeah.
So what the heck's a building falling on one of them?
Well, if the substance that was resurrecting them was that dragon's had to do with those dragon bones, and that's where Daredevil died, maybe he was resurrected.
Hmm.
Of course, he looked pretty beat up to be resurrected.
Yeah, that's possible. I don't want him to go that way, if that's the case. I'd like a more reasonable explanation.
Yeah. I'm going with Elektra carried him out. And now she's got a couple of those Dragon Bones discs, and she's just kind of doing her thing.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Yeah, because you don't want to kill her off. She's a great character.
She is. I don't like I like where she ended up, I guess, after she and Matt are beating the crap out of each other. Mm-hmm. And she finally, like, admits that, yes, she remembers them, she loves them, blah, blah, blah. So I like that. But I didn't like her arc throughout the season.
Yeah.
I really liked her in Daredevil. But yeah. it was almost like, let's just bring Elektra in so we can have this conflict with Daredevil, kind of tie all the shows in.
Right.
And I didn't like that too much. Like, there was too much, like, evil Elektra, and I understand why, but at some points it got confusing for me.
But that's her character historically. Like, she has a violent nature. She's like a mercenary. And what do you call the characters that are, they're heroes, but they sort of walk the line between hero and villain?
The anti-heroes?
Yeah, there you go. That's sort of her. That's, or at least my impression.
I get that. I just didn't want that.
I don't know if she's ever been really a hero. Because in Daredevil, she was just a thrill seeker.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I never could quite understand what this dark sky...
They never explained it. And it wasn't actually a thing, by the way.
It was, because... I mean, was it a prof... Because it didn't...
No, it was made up.
But in Daredevil Season 2 didn't... Wasn't there another kid... That was a dark sky. So isn't somebody, like, born ever so often that's a dark sky?
Look, the way they explained it in Defenders, it might have been after Alexandra died. I can't remember. But No. It was Madame Gal that said it when she was talking to Alexandra after the rest of the hand wanted to separate.
Yeah, right. In Daredevil. In Season 1, right, of Daredevil?
No. In Defenders. This happened in Defenders. After the Black Guy gets killed... And it's just the four remaining fingers of the hand, and the Madame Gao and the two guys want to split off from Alexandra, because her only concern is the black sky, and, you know, whatever. Like, there's no other plan other than what the black sky can do. Right. And they say on there that the black sky was never a thing. Like, that's her prophecy. Like, her vision the entire time.
But that wasn't Daredevil Season 1, though, also. There was a kid, right?
That was a while ago, so you might be right. But I'm just... This happened in Defenders. That's all I remember.
Well, wasn't it some prophecy that Alexandra gave, that the black sky, so...
Yeah, but she made it up.
Yeah, I know. So it could have been that kid, and then once the kid died, well, I guess there'll be another black sky born, or, you know, it's...
They didn't explain it well enough.
It's like in the Matrix, dude, when Morpheus is constantly looking for the one.
Right.
You know, and he never finds it until all of a sudden Neo is kind of the one, but he's not really the one.
Except, yeah.
Wanted to believe.
Yeah, except they've revealed the black sky, I think, at least twice. But I still don't understand exactly what it is or what makes it the black sky. I guess it's the same substance that resurrects them, but I don't know what differentiates them from the black sky.
I guess they don't explain that.
Yeah, they don't explain it well.
So what'd you think of that final scene of Danny in the tracksuit?
It was fine. I don't like the tracksuit.
Yeah. But I guess that's how you modernize his 70s kung fu look up. I just wish it didn't have the racing stripes down the side of the pants.
Yes. It's like they modernized it to the late 70s. You know what I'm talking about? Went from the early 70s to the late 70s. Because nobody wears tracksuits. Let's be real. Yeah, that was fine. I like that Jessica Jones kind of decided to bring back Alias Investigations. I thought that was... Yeah. A nice wrap up to her thing. So I'm hoping that means season 2 is coming. I don't follow the schedule, so I'm assuming they're doing one, right?
Yeah, I heard they were. I haven't heard anything on Luke Cage season 2, but didn't they say they were doing season 2?
Yeah, there's Iron Fist, supposedly Iron Fist 2 in spring of 2019. There is Daredevil 3 in fall of 2018, and Luke Cage 2 in summer, in a year from now.
Interesting. Okay.
Okay, so that's phase 2.
Yeah.
Wait, so Punisher is this fall.
Right.
So did we get 3 this year?
No. So Punisher is in November. The next one after that, I got a list of it somewhere. The so next we, after that is Jessica Jones. They're going to do Jessica Jones 2.
Okay, good. Okay.
So we got 4 this year. We'll get 5 next year.
Yeah, they're repeating everything.
Did we
every
get
quarter.
Luke Cage this year?
Luke Cage was this year.
Was it 2000? Wasn't it? I don't remember. 2017 or I think it was 2016.
Yeah, I thought we got Iron Fist this in the spring. Then we got Defenders, and then we're getting Punisher. Yeah. So Punisher's not going to be a part of Defenders, but it's almost, is it kind of mimicking the movies where each of the individual Avengers get a movie and then they do the next Avengers?
Yeah, it seems like they're following that pattern.
So each of the Defenders is going to get a series and then you're going to get a Defenders 2? But what would be nice is, I wonder if they're going to keep the 8 episodes. So unless you have the character introduction like the Punisher, the next seasons are going to be 8 episodes. But they didn't do that with Daredevil 2, though, did they?
No.
Daredevil 2 was 13 seasons.
They haven't actually announced Defenders 2 yet, but I think it's sort of assumed that that's just going to happen.
Yeah.
Here's a question. Did you think the building fight was this series' hallway fight? it seems short for the hallway fight.
Well, I mean, you need a bigger hallway, right? Because you got more people. So you have to use a whole building and slash hole in the ground slash tunnel.
I gotta say, man, I didn't like the fight scene at the end.
You didn't?
I didn't.
So all right, so I liked it, but there was a Wu-Tang song in there that almost didn't fit, because usually when they pick music for action scenes, it's like the same tempo.
Was it when Luke Cage was fighting? Because they only played hip hop when Luke Cage was in the scene.
No. It was the whole team. And as a matter of fact, yeah. I think Iron Fist kicked off the fight. And then it went into Wu-Tang. And I was like, wait a second. Like, I love this song, but this is kind of not jiving with me. Because the song is kind of upbeat and fast.
Yeah.
And a lot of the action was a little bit slow. Especially when it cuts to Luke Cage. Because he's like, I don't know, just like picking the dude up. Like throwing him out. You know, it didn't fit the tempo of the fight scene. But I like that it was there.
Yeah.
Oh, I liked the fight scene how it was panning, and it was the right speed of panning. Ooh. Where you had enough time on each character to see their, you know, how they're taking out their combatants, and then you kind of pan to the next one, and you kind of go around and you see how the fight's progressing without having to watch it from a bird's eye view.
Yep.
I digged the last fight and the way they panned.
I had seen enough fighting at that point. I wanted more. I wanted like more story.
You cannot have too much fighting.
Well, the last episode, it was like it was just a big fight. That's all it was. And then the building fell, and we got the little bit about Misty Knight. But other than that, it wasn't really anything meaningful in it, right?
Well, you had Daredevil and Electro that beat the crap out of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And while they resisted their temptation to make out. Yeah,
that was an interesting dynamic.
Yeah. Do you think from this point on they're going to team up the characters? Because I feel like if they, like in the movies, it's like teaming up the characters is just naturally fun, and they've sort of ramped that up as they've gone through the MCU, and I'm wondering if they'll do that same through the TV shows. Like if all of a sudden now we get a Luke Cage show, and once again it's only Luke Cage without any of these other characters in it, I think it might be come across a little bit lacking.
Well, you don't know where Daredevil is. He's recovering. I think Iron Fist is going to feel guilty, and he's going to kind of take over patrolling Hell's Kitchen for Daredevil.
Yep.
Jessica kind of works the PI thing, and I don't know what Luke's doing, but getting coffee with Claire.
Well, why not?
He just wants to help Harlem, remember? That was his big thing. I'm here for Harlem. I ain't here for nothing else. I'm here for Harlem.
Instead of doing Iron Fist didn't go over great, so instead of doing another Iron Fist show and another Luke Cage show, why not just do a Heroes for Hire?
I think that's going to be the Misty Knight Colleen Wing series.
Yeah.
They could spin that off of the next Luke Cage series.
If they right. do that.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways they could go with it.
I like that. And it would kind of set them off apart from the guys that they're attached to.
Well, honestly, if they really wanted to do it, you could almost tie them with Jessica Jones, and that becomes, or they kind of work together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, because isn't Heroes for Hire basically like a PI agency also?
Yeah. I like it.
Because I'm trying to think, did Jessica and Colleen ever interact? Not really.
Yeah, not really.
They were kind of just playing up the whole Misty Knight and Colleen there towards the end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think they could do it with just Iron Fist and Luke, Danny and Luke Cage.
The buddy cop kind of thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Privileged, mm-hmm. the privileged white kid and the hero of Harlem.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm good with whatever. You know, I just wanna get shows and enjoy them.
Yeah.
I was very disappointed that there was no Moon Knight Easter egg. You know, like I've heard rumors about Moon Knight on Netflix.
Man, I've heard there's they Moon Knight rumors about every phase of the MCU.
Great, bring it on.
I haven't seen anything legit yet.
The more rumors
they
are, the least likely they're going to do it. Because they're trying to distract you from what they're really doing.
Well, that's about going to do it for this episode of Ultimate Marvel Podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Big thanks to Martin, Freddy, and Dennis for jumping on here. Like always, you can reach us on the Twitter machine at Ultimate Marvel Pod. I'm Jack Sutherland. We're out. Come back, slipped out of whack as a master laid out the music. Did I just say fuck you? Fuck you. The boy to know we're rolled through our boss and my psychedelic trip we take. There's another of us all we have to make. Well, we have nowhere beyond. Take out the earth, the face is gone. At last end, we'll fill the cone. How strange we should be here at all. Sweet Christmas.